Associate Professor Susan St. John is in for a cordial today. We're talking economics and on the cusp, I guess, of the latest unemployment figures, which will be out tomorrow. Susan, thanks again for joining us on the program. Tēnā koe. Child poverty expert, saying that New Zealand first proposed Kiwi Kids grant may be grabbing headlines, but the real challenge is ensuring that families have the long-term financial security and housing stability needed to raise children well. And it's a very good point, Susan. $5,000 for each child, while it might be a nice election bribe or idea, it's already proven not to have worked in other countries. From an economics perspective, is there evidence that one-off payments meaningfully influence decisions about having children?
No, and it's the broader context, as you say. It's about affordable housing first, and it's about not having debt hanging over you, and it's about feeling financially secure, food security. Those sorts of things are the critical immediate problems. We seem to have the coalition partners competing for the stupidest policies they can think of in this pre-election run-up.
Well, that's a fair observation. Competing for the stupidest policies. I might use that line. You've suggested the proposal focuses on the wrong problem. Why do you believe issues such as housing affordability, income security, and the cost of raising tamariki are much more important factors than a cash payment at birth?
Yes, and what is proposed, of course, is in the future. So it's if they get elected, and if it's pushed through as a coalition policy adopted by the coalition, then it will come in. So we're talking about babies born years out, really. We're not talking about today's problem, the immediacy, the dire circumstances that families are in, which I'm not sure whether this government actually gets it. You only need to look at the child poverty statistics that have come out in the last few weeks and the reports around child wellbeing, Ministry of Social Development, to see that the indicators are going in the wrong direction. I mean, I was just looking this morning at immunisation rates. We know that there's increased hospitalisations going on at the moment, just as there was in the 90s, where we had the mother of all budgets, and then we had an increase in child poverty, and then we had a correlated increase in hospitalisation for preventable third world diseases. So we should be critically alarmed by the fact that the immunisation rates are lower than they've been, much lower for the whole population, but particularly Māori children, Pacific children, 22.5 points worse than they were in 2019. So this is an enormous problem that needs to be dealt with now, not some fancy program that might or might not be adopted in the form that we've heard, but doesn't sound very promising at all.
Thank you. Economist Susan St. John's with us today. Now, upping productivity makes sense, and we know that should be our collective goal, because the cost of living is rising. Certainly when you look at electricity or rates or petrol, And in the supermarket checkouts, everything is on the rise, and some of them by 10% a year, if you look at electricity charges as an example there. So the only way we can address that really is if we have better pay packets. How are we going to grow the pay packets? And I guess that in there lies that issue of productivity. But at what cost, Susan? Might you talk about productivity and the need for us as a nation to, I guess... earn more so that we can pay people more?
Well, we need investment in people's skills and capital. We can't say we're going to get more productivity by people working hard or trying hard or getting an extra job. All of that is not going to do it. We need the investment in the health of the workforce. And we need the investment in the training programs. We've got far too many unemployed in the younger category. It's outrageous not to be putting our whole heart and soul into trying to deal with that, because that's very, very damaging for young people to be simply unable to get even the smallest part-time job, and finding that they've got nothing on in their lives. So real problems today, real investment in the workforce, and over time, better infrastructure, of course, better hospitals, better schools, those sorts of things will improve productivity. But it's certainly not about getting people who are already doing the very best they can to try any harder.
Yeah, I do take your point. So this is talking about investment into our younger people. It doesn't seem like it is a very important focus area for governments. We hear a lot about adults, a lot about business, but not a lot about training opportunities for our rangatahi. And bearing in mind, as you and I have discussed before, Susan, these are going to be the kaimahi of the future, effectively paying for the pensions of our baby boomers as we retire. So it's such an important area. And so there's such a lack of focus. What would you say about the need to be a hell of a lot better in creating opportunities for our youth?
Oh, look, I couldn't agree more. And I wondered too, Dale, if I might just focus on this baby bonus policy for a minute, because I think it's important, seeing we're in an election year, that people get their heads around what could be a possibility in the future. So the way that it's been announced is really worrying me, because it not only excludes certain categories called non-citizens, but it also is based on the work first model. So it's based on that idea that you're a worthy citizen if you're doing paid work. So you're only going to get the baby bonus if there is one parent in paid work. It won't be, as I read it, it won't be for anybody on a benefit or a part benefit. So it's going to follow the principles that we see built into the in-work tax credit, that you only get it if you're attached to the workforce and you are not on a benefit. And so it's this deserving and undeserving children. So two babies born alongside each other, one could get the $5,000 and the other not qualify. And the one that could get the $5,000 might be from an extremely wealthy family, because it's going to be a universal policy. So I think it's really important to dig into these policies and expose them for the shallowness and for the divisiveness that they carry.
It seems to be a political trend, though, isn't it, as we approach elections, where everyone comes out with... I guess in some ways they could be described as just highfalutin wish lists, and they throw them out across the media, often with no reality pinned to them. And you know, we're used to lolly scrambles. We'll get some of that, no doubt, too, as we build up to November.
Yes, and we might not get anything good either. We might have the poor policies, the bad policies, the ones that are pushed through, with the government arguing they can push it through under urgency because they've got a mandate that that's what people voted for, which is why they've justified some of the urgency that some poor policies have been pushed through with to date. So
Aussie tried this, didn't it, Susan? I think they were given $7,000, maybe up to 10 for babies, but it didn't prove to up the birth rate at all. In fact, it, from what I can understand, it was actually a failed experiment. Why do you think we're tracking down a similar path?
I have no idea. I mean, there's other countries like Nazi Germany and North Korea and Hungary and countries that have tried it too. And it's like a populist thing. And it's also kind of, something that could be have seeds of not being particularly good for women, who might then feel obligated in some way to keep procreating when it's not really what they need or want to do. So I just think it's a very dangerous, it's a very expensive policy. It's appealing to that work is the only way out of poverty kind of thinking, which has been so damaging. And it's certainly not what we should be focusing on right now. We want parties to tell us what they're going to do about our appalling statistics for poverty, for homelessness, 33,000 children living in homeless type situations, our immunization rates, our third world diseases. What are they going to do about that right now? Because that's the problem.
Tēnā koe, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. Thanks, Susan. Unemployment figures out tomorrow. They won't be flash. And of course, for Māori and Pacifica peoples, we know that they are at times eclipsing even double the mainstream
Yes.
stats. So nothing to smile about tomorrow. And if you're looking for improved economic performance, as was guaranteed when the coalition arrangements secured the three-headed tanihi, if you will. 2.5 years down the track, and these unemployment figures tomorrow should serve as an embarrassment and a point to the fact that they had misguided priorities across the last 2.5 years. Nothing to smile about tomorrow,
Totally
I'd
misguided.
suggest. Hey, Susan, always neat to have a cordial with you. Anything you'd like to add, Susan?
Oh, there's so much going on. I just don't know where to start with the disgust that I feel about how we're treating children in New Zealand. Our statistics going completely in the wrong direction, and none of the main parties seem to be able to get their heads around it at all. And child poverty itself has fallen off as one of the 10 top priorities. So in the budget, the last budget, it didn't even feature.
And that says
They've
something about
fallen
the
so
attitude
far.
we're witnessing. Thank you, Susan, for your
Yes, it
ongoing
does.
cordial
Thank
on our platform. Tēnā koe. It was
Tēnā koe.
6:03. Thank you.